Health Committee is convened, and it is about 2 minutes after 9 on a Saturday, February 9th, 2008, and you really can't eat. It's so bad outside that you can't tell whether it's snowing yet or whether it's just wind blowing the snow around. But I really appreciate the turnout in such nasty weather. Let the record reflect that Representative Keller, Representative Faircloth, Representative Gardner, Representative Seaton, Representative Roses, and myself, Representative Wilson, are present. And we do have a quorum to conduct business. And also, I'd like to recognize that our Kelly Burnett is our House Recording Secretary. Thank you for coming out today. And Luke Woodruff is our LIO moderator. And my committee aide is Becky Rooney. Before we start, please turn off your cell phones because just turning them to vibrate still interferes with her reception here. So if you can turn them off completely for we do have this committee room only until 11, and then another committee is meeting. So we have to move fast and try to get as much in as we can today.
Yes, we are.
So we have two bills on our agenda today, and that's House Bill 337, which is the Health Care Transparency Act, and also House Bill 345, which is the Medical Facilities Certificate of Need. So as you may remember, House Bill 337 addresses three different parts, or three different areas, really. And they are the new Health Care Commission, the Health Care Information Office charged with disseminating health care information to the general public, and the Certificate of Need. So my plan for this meeting is I'm going to have both sponsors of the bill present their bills, and then the first testimony that we'll discuss if there's any questions here. But then the first testimony that I'm going to have online, so you can kind of adjust how you're going to handle it for you that are online. We are going to go into just the first two parts of House Bill 337. Which is the Health Care Commission and the information that will be disseminated to the public. And because the third part of the bill is also a CON item, we are going to wait and talk about the CONs in both bills at the same time. So, and I would like you to say, when you start your testimony, to say whether you are for, what you're for, or what you're against, so that it is on the record, and there's no, sometimes people will testify, and you're not sure what they were thinking when they were talking about it. So if you would please state whether you were for one bill or the other bill, or parts of it. So right now I will the commissioner is here. Okay. I'm going to have the commissioner come up and go over the test, give your testimony as far as your bill, 337. And looks like Dr. Butler is going to be here with us too. And if you would go over and explain the changes that have happened and what the bill is exactly about and what it says, so that the people in TV land and other places will know what it's about, and then I will have the sponsor of the other bill come up.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Carlene Jackson, Commissioner for Health and Social Services, and with me is Jay Butler, our Chief Medical Officer, and we may tag team on some of the parts of the bill. I want to put this in the context of the Department of the mission of the Department of Health and Social Services is to promote and protect the health and well-being of Alaskans. And the Health Care Transparency Act, House Bill 337, helps us accomplish that because it gives Alaskans the tools to responsibly manage their own health care. This act adopts several recommendations that came from the Governor's Health Care Strategies Planning Council and from the Department's Certificate of Need Negotiated Rulemaking Committee work, both of which were completed in December of this year. Two items in particular form the basis of this act and encourage Alaskans to take responsibility for their own health, as well as the development of a healthcare system that provides access to quality, cost-effective services for all Alaskans. First, the CON committee recommended that changes to statute should authorize the department to convene a committee to oversee health planning. The Health Council similarly recommended creation of an ongoing, quasi-independent, nonpartisan, volunteer Alaska Healthcare Commission in statute. As a result, the first component, as the chair said, there are three components of the bill, is an Alaska Healthcare Commission. The work of that commission would be an end product of a long-term Alaska healthcare plan that could change as things change in our health industry in Alaska. The second part of this bill also has components that came out of recommendations from both the CON Task Force and the Health Council. The task force said that determining need for healthcare services must be data-driven, it must be a process that takes community planning into account, as well as market forces. And the Health Council the Health Strategies Council recommended that there be an easily accessible and constantly updated website containing evidence-based price and quality information about healthcare providers and services. That's the second component of the Governor's Healthcare Transparency Act. An information office would begin work on July 1 of 2008 and start to put together and consolidate all the data and information that we have for Alaskan consumers to be able to make decisions about their own health care. Committee members will remember that Dr. Butler actually showed up on the screen some of the different websites that other states have developed. And so we've got some models, we've got information on what other contractors are doing around that kind of work, and we'd be happy to answer questions if the committee has them about those pieces of the bill. The third part, of course, of the Governor's Healthcare Transparency Act is the repeal of the Certificate of Need program. And while the Health Council didn't address that directly because they didn't deal with any bills and there were actually bills in play about repealing the Certificate of Need, they did address the underlying purpose for the Certificate of Need program, and that's to reduce cost of health care and improve access to health care for Alaskans. And similarly, the Certificate of Need program, or the Certificate of Need Task Force, did not recommend repealing the Certificate of Need. But they did talk about several factors that play into the reason for having this component in this bill. One of the things they talked about was having a higher level of enforcement and monitoring as a role for the Department of Health and Social Services with the Certificate of Need program. What that would mean for all of us is, and we need to know that if we go forward with those recommendations, we'll need to beef up the bureaucracy in the department around the Certificate of Need program. That'll mean more staffing, that'll mean more funding. If we're going to do it effectively, that'll mean more of a role of policing and enforcing the program and making it stronger and tighter rather than more market-driven. In fact, one of the recommendations that the task force talked about but did not adopt was actually lowering the threshold ceiling for when you had to apply for a certificate of need. And I apologize for my voice. I'm hoping I'm not going to have to leave the room in a hurry. If I do, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Butler, but I'm just dealing with a little touch of flu here, so I apologize for that. It's also important to remember that the Certificate of Need program was federally mandated in the mid-70s. And since that time, many states have decided to either modify the program or repeal the program. Market forces have changed. The healthcare industry has changed significantly. When the program first started, healthcare basically in the mid-70s was provided in hospitals or in doctor's offices, physician's offices. And everybody at that point in time knew what a physician's office was. Today, there are so many different kinds of services, so much new technology, that that's no longer the case. And so the Certificate of Need program is operating on a model that was created in a healthcare industry that we don't have today. You can see that when you walk into some of the big box stores now that provide influenza shots or different kinds of low-level medical care right there outside their pharmacy, and that didn't used to happen. Now that I went past my notes, so I got to catch up with myself here. Sorry about that. Another recommendation that the Certificate of Need Task Force made was that the state collect more data to see how well that program is doing. And if we continue with the Certificate of Need program and do that, in my opinion, we're not helping Alaskans as consumers be able to take charge of their own health in the same way they can if we're doing the data collection and putting that information on a website for Alaskans to be able to actually actually make choices about their own care. The other thing I would say about the Certificate of Need Task Force is it was a group that came together and did an amazing amount of work. And again, and I've said this publicly before, they really spent a lot of time and effort, and I appreciate that, and wish that we had had more time between the end of their report and the introduction of the Healthcare Transparency Act for us to be able to go back and talk to them about it. Unfortunately, that did not happen. One of the things that the task force also recognized as they were doing their work is there was not a voice of the Alaskan healthcare consumer on their task force. Basically, what we had was folks involved in the industry coming up with recommendations. And what we have in the Healthcare Transparency Act is really a bill that focuses healthcare from the consumer's perspective, not from the provider's perspective. So it's no surprise that there's a great difference of opinion about what this ought to look like. One of the issues that the task force raised that's very significant and that we see reflected in the CS is that there are certain segments of the industry that we need to be very careful to protect. For example, hospitals in small communities. And so in the CS, one of the things that we've done rather than a complete repeal of Certificate of Need is have residential psychiatric treatment centers, nursing homes, and communities that have critical access hospitals continue to operate under a Certificate of Need program. That's the most significant change in that CS. And with that, I'll pause, ask if there's any questions, ask Dr. Butler if I missed anything.
Representative Gardner has a question.
Thank you very much. Your comments, I just am stunned by how closely they lead into exactly where I'm sitting on this issue. You at one time you referred to the Certificate of Need Task Force, and I think you that was a mistake. I think you meant the Healthcare Task Force, because I believe that is the case. This issue is so complex. There's competing claims nationwide. It's just so hard to figure out, does CON do what we think it does? And I came here this morning thinking what we really need is a good study to know about CON in our state. And we have pages and pages of documents about people's CON reports from all different places, but they're not the same as us. Their plan's not the same. Their program's different. The needs of that community is different. And from where I sit, I don't have a clue if CON in Alaska does anything for us, if it does what it's supposed to do or not. I don't know. And I can have somebody in my office say, absolutely, it doesn't, and the next person says, oh, it's absolutely essential. So a wise person said, if you don't understand something, you have to be a no vote. I feel that way right now. I can't vote yes on anything related to CON right now except possibly for a task force or maybe the first focus of the board that we're considering bringing into being here, because we need a real data-driven, independent, good quality study to know what CON does or does not do in Alaska. So
Comments on that? Yeah. Madam Chair, what I would like to do is offer Dr. Butler the opportunity to add comments he may have had, and I thank you for your comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jay Butler, Chief Medical Officer for the Department of Health and Social Services. Through the chair, Representative Gardner, perhaps I could begin by addressing the issue that you raised. What you described sounds like a very good idea to me. I think one of the caveats there is the commission will have a very full agenda already in developing a statewide health plan and addressing some of the issues surrounding health information. I would offer that caution about this being an additional charge to the commission, or we may not really get a whole lot done because there would be so much that's trying to be done all at once. The other issue that I wanted to raise was just elaborate a little more on the commissioner's excellent overview on the Health Information Office. The additional role of the Health Information Office is also providing information on prevention. how to encourage personal responsibility. And the way I might perceive this would be focusing initially on some specific areas such as physical activity, diet, and tobacco cessation. And I think the Health Information Office and the work that's done very much will need to be phased in, both in terms of what we try to do for prevention and what we do for providing information for health consumers. This will allow us to be able to look at both feasibility as well as success of the program. So one goal would be to try and keep people out of the healthcare system as much as possible, which is where the real cost savings would be. The other would be to provide health information. And I'll just use as an example, a joint replacement, an orthopedic procedure, that not only would there be information on how that might be done and some of the outcomes or costs in Alaska, but also general information. I mean, there's a lot of information that's out there that's not necessarily linked into some of the other websites. And the goal there is recognizing, and I think I can say this as a physician, that an informed patient is going to be a healthier patient. It's generally going to have better outcomes than someone who is not as aware of their problems. Clinicians are very busy, and oftentimes it's hard to do that critical education component. Other comment I was going to make is that the content that comes out of the Health Information Office and what's disclosed, I think it's very fluid in terms of what's going to be the most useful information, what's going to be the most feasible information. I think the initial role of the Health Information Office is to serve as a clearinghouse and as well as an entree point for the public to be able to access information that's already being collected and which is out there. So if you will, a network of networks with one hub where people can go easily and find this information. And I do think it would be an important role of the commission to be able to coordinate what goes out on that web and to be able to assess what is really doable and is going to be useful for consumers. So with that, I will be glad to take further questions as well.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. I wouldn't disagree with anything you've said. I mean, it sounds like a positive way to go. But in terms of understanding what our CON program does for Alaskans, if the Health Information Office or the Commission or the Task Force, if none of those are the right people to do it, we have a university, we have ICER. I mean, I just feel like eliminating or making any major changes in the absence of real data is...
And what I'd like to... bring to the committee's attention. What I'd like to do is, if you have questions right now, I would like us to zero in on the first two sections of the bill.
Excellent.
You know, and because we'll get to the CON part, that's probably where most of our testimony will stand. And so I don't want to cut you off or anything.
Thank
but,
you.
You know, did you have a question, Representative?
I did. I had a couple.
Representative Roses.
Thank you. One of the things that I noticed in your comment today that I don't think I heard when you did the presentation on the bill the first time was the fact that one of the benefits of repeal, and this is not on the CON, this is a connection to where I'm going, is that when you talked about repealing the CON that you'd actually have to have people in your office that are reviewing the CONs, collecting the data, making the decisions, and so therefore it takes additional staff to deal with this. Whereas if you repealed it, you wouldn't necessarily need those people. But isn't much of the information that's going to be required to be reported in House Bill 337 as part of the health information gathering, isn't that also some of the same information that's currently required under a CON application? I mean, are we asking for different information than we currently are asking for?
Arm wrestle you for it.
There you go. Through the chair, I'll start and then let Dr. Butler continue. Some of the information would be similar, but the information on the website would go beyond what is being required now. What's really required for the Certificate of Need program is more focused on, do we need to build a specific facility to provide this service? And so who else is providing those kinds of services in the community, and what's the impact going to be financially on those facilities? This information is much more focused from the consumer's perspective on where can I get these services, what is it going to cost, and what's the outcome of it going to be.
Thank you. Can I
follow up, Representative Rosen?
Thank you. I did have a couple more questions that are related to that. If this bill were to be passed today, does the state and your department in particular really feel that you would be able to implement and start gathering this data as early as July?
Through the chair, Representative Roses, the July 1 date is the start of the information office startup. So that would be the day we would start hiring staff, reassigning staff, beginning to get the IT pieces together. That would not be the day that information would become available. That would be the start of the process. It would also be the day that the commission would begin to be pulled together. And because the commission will have some oversight on what's available on that website, it would be, I would at least guess, a year before there would be effective data up that we would want to have on that website.
I appreciate that's exactly where I was going. I was reading back through the Alaska Health Care Commission and looking at what their responsibilities are and what they're charged to do. And the second item in that is to review and approve facility health care information for placement of the department's internet database. So I would be much more comfortable, I'll tell you, and I can be convinced otherwise, but at this particular point in time, I'm much more inclined in this bill to do one step, and that's to create the commission, and then let's work through the commission to do the rest of what we need. What kind of information do we want? How do we want it reported? What's the best way to disseminate that information? What's the best way to gather the information? And then also in dealing with the other part that we're not talking about yet, which is a certificate of need. And I think we're sort of not only we're putting the cart before the horse, but I think we keep trying to switch positions. And from time to time, the horse is in front and then the cart's in front. And so my inclination at this point is to be very supportive of the commission, but then to direct some of these other things that we're trying to make decisions on to be worked out through that commission. And I realize they're going to have a tremendous amount of work to do. There's no question about it. Every commission always does when they first start. But I also don't want to start a commission and have their hands tied behind their back by us already having made decisions that we're charging them to make. And that's my mindset at this point. I certainly am going to continue to listen, and I may change my opinion, but at this point, that's just in going over this and going over this, that's sort of where I'm focusing at this point. This is an issue that I've had. There's only been two other issues since I've been here that's had more people in my office than this. Oil and gas taxes and a GIA, followed very closely by the optometry bill that we worked on last year, which also people worked on, I understand, for about 7 years before I got here. But so this is certainly an issue that has a tremendous amount of interest and certainly has a major financial impact, not only the consumers of the state, but the healthcare providers of the state. So, you know, we take this charge very seriously, as Representative Gardner has already stated. This is a huge issue. And quite frankly, we are elected to make these decisions, but there are an awful lot of decisions that we're trying to make that have an impact on everybody in the state, and I'm not sure that we have the information necessary to make those kinds of decisions. And looking at the makeup of this commission, I would certainly hope that those individuals would have the qualifications. If they didn't, we should look towards appointing somebody other than who we've listed.
Representative Sisson? Yes, actually, to this point, both Representative Gardner and Roses, I'm just thinking about timing. And what I know, because I have been talking with the 211 information, and it's a telephone line, of course, in Anchorage, it took them quite a few years to get everything together to start. And it's been about 3 years since they started, and they've gone through just tremendous trouble getting all the information together and all of the pieces in Alaska and fastening things down. And they're hoping to get started, be online here real soon. But they were saying that last year too. So the fact that a study is going to take time, it's going to take probably, well, the uninsured one took at least a year, and then the analysis takes some time too. So it seems to me there is a stair step thing going here, and starting on a study to give us information we really desperately need seems to be one of the things that we could do simultaneous to a commission.
And Madam Chair, if I may respond to both Representative Roses and Representative Cisna, I think one of the things that I know we're not talking about certificate of need repeal piece yet, but one of the impacts that put these three pieces together is the fiscal considerations. And the piece that I did not mention today, because we've talked about it before, is we do have some lawsuits out there, and in fact we've got our Assistant Attorney General Stacey Crayley online if questions come up about that later. And so those are costs that we are going to incur, as well as the cost of the CON program itself. And so if we add the other two components of the Act and we keep everything that we have in place, there's a significant fiscal impact of that.
Can I respond to that?
Okay. What more? I don't do anything. Representative Roses.
Just in response to the lawsuit thing, because I know that's come up before, and I understand the dilemma that the state's involved in trying to resolve that, but quite frankly, I don't think that my position nor the decisions that I'm going to make here have anything to do with the lawsuit in my mind. I have to set those aside and say that's an issue that's being brought by another party that the state is involved in, and it's not up to me to intervene or to step into the fray and try to make that decision. I understand that if something we do helps, that is great. But my driving force behind this is not to get rid of a lawsuit. My driving force behind what I'm trying to do is develop the best policy to where we go from this day forward to provide good, adequate health care for folks in the state and to make sure that we're moving forward with the very best possible way of doing it. And as Representative Cisna said, some of this stuff is going to take time. But I got to tell you, I built houses for a while, and I can guarantee you that people that bought houses for me did not want one built fast. They wanted it built well.
Through the Chair, Representative Roses, I appreciate your comments, and I understand that. And I still believe that the issue with the lawsuits is the cost, and the purpose of the program is to lower the cost of health care. And so that's my concern there. But thank you.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And addressing the ideas of the lawsuit, is it cost, like dollar cost, or is it resources and the involvement of the department and what you're going to expend your energy on? Which is that?
Through the Chair, Representative Seaton, it's both. And there are actual legal costs that Department of Law incurs because the cases are ongoing. We don't know what the end result will be by the time they all play out over the years. And then there's also staff time and involvement. So there's both.
Follow-up, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that's what I was kind of. I agree with Representative Roses, but there is only so much staff time to devote to things, and if we decide we want something done, we can't have a process going forward too much that directs all their time somewhere else. I had another question on the idea of.
Section 1 or 2?
Section 2.
Okay, thank you.
On the idea of doing Section 2, the commission, without having the transparency policy in place. As I see it, Section 1 has you, the department, charged with doing the health care plan, and that wouldn't be the charge really of the commission. So I'm trying to figure out if we would go forward with Section 2 and establish the commission without having the policy decision made for the transparency section. Does that put – then the commission's role would be to assess through the full range of things that might influence costs in the state and then come back with a policy question? Is that where we would be if we institute Section 1 without the commission, without the policy choice being made by the legislature?
Through the Chair, Representative Seaton, this could be my flu brain not quite grasping what you're asking, but I think what you're asking is if we have the commission in place and don't have the information office and the web-based components up, would that be effective? Am I framing that correctly, or did I miss it?
Not, Madam Chair.
Follow up, Representative Seaton.
Not only that, in the web-based program, it seems that we're making the policy choice there of what some of the commission is to do, and the direction they're going to go. As I read on page 3 here, that if we haven't made that other choice, then the commission is going to be looking at recommendations to foster the development of a statewide plan and to review facility care information. Do you see any difference in the charge or what the commission would be doing if we just institute that as a policy versus if we institute that and the transparency section as well?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I think there would be differences if we don't have the transparency piece. If we're not focusing it on the consumer, then I think what you may be getting at is then the health plan is really more focused on what we're doing now in terms of the facility pieces and reviewing those kinds of things, but not actually getting the information to the consumer about the comparison of prices and such. Is that what you're thinking? I'm sorry. Again, I apologize.
Well, and thank you. And what I'm trying to understand is, can these sections be effectively broken apart, and can we institute the commission without, and will we be going in the same direction if we just institute the commission and say, go out and here's your charge, go out and study these things and come back, or if we institute both the transparency and the commission, does then the commission have more direction? I mean, have we made a choice in direction? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out for the commission.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I think what you may be getting at is if we have only a commission, then we don't have the staff involvement of the information office with the sort of hands and feet to carry out that work. It becomes like any other board, council, commission, where they make decisions and they make recommendations, but they don't do the implementation. The information office is really the implementation component of the policy recommendations that would be made by that commission. And so what would happen is we wouldn't have that ability to implement those policy decisions and that direct connection to the work for Alaskans. And I'll leave it like that.
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Seaton, the only thing that I would add is that, and maybe this is just reiterating what the commissioner has already said, the commission would this would be a tool for the commission, and also the commission could further define just what's in the health information office. But I think to begin that work of the commission without even having that tool for them to develop could really limit their effectiveness. Thank you.
And you know, from my understanding, the healthcare commission I would imagine that their job would be to look at Alaska as a whole, see what's happening out here as a whole, and trying to figure out, you know, where there are holes in our healthcare, and try to figure out how we can give the best healthcare to every person in the state. And if we have a problem with access to healthcare, then how are we going to make it better? Those type of things. And the healthcare information office, their charge right now is going to be to the transparency part, to get information to the general public so that they can make wise decisions on their own healthcare, their own personal healthcare. And do I want to go here? Do I want to go here? So that there's one place that they can go on online. And so to me, it's even though maybe they would maybe do some things that the healthcare commission suggests, their charges are not the same overall. I would say the healthcare commission wants the department to figure out how to give better healthcare to everybody in Alaska, where the commission itself is trying to figure out or is trying to put transparency right there in front of the public so that they can make their own health care decisions. Now, am I wrong?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Okay. And so, Representative Seaton.
Well, Madam Chair, what I'm trying to do is figure out if we split these apart.
They are split apart.
If we enact them totally separately, does that mean we haven't made a policy choice for the commission that we want to see transparency and consumer and the recommendations that come back from the commission, which is what they're doing, they provide recommendations to foster and develop, may not be at all on transparency given to consumers?
That's absolutely right. If I understand it, for what I understand, that they are two separate entities doing two separate things. And that does not mean, however, that something might, that the commission suggests, might be, fall into that other realm. But most of it won't.
And I guess, Madam Chair, what I'm trying to find, to figure out is, then we would be, if we do the one without the other, we are saying, commission, go out and study, bring us back a plan. And we're not making a policy decision. We are specifically not making the policy decision that we want consumers to have the individual information and that that would be a policy decision that the commission would be integrating into their recommendations and plans and how to further that. So we would be not making that policy decision and leaving that up to the commission. That is my question as to.
So are you thinking of? I guess I'm trying to clarify what you mean. And sorry. And so you're thinking of putting them all into one?
Madam Chair, no. But the suggestion has been made that we just pass the commission and do not do the transparency. And what I'm trying to do is figure out. And I've heard this not from. Just one member of the committee, but several, and I'm trying to figure out how far do we not give policy direction to the commission for them to integrate into their plan. Their plan may or may not have transparency focus at all when it comes back to us in the future. So I just want to make sure that we talk about whether that policy direction is something that we want to have integral so that the commission has that in their recommendations, in their charge, in their development, so that that's part of the integrated portion of their recommendations and their strategy for Alaskan healthcare. I mean, right now we don't have that strategy in the state, and I'm just trying to figure out if we go forward with the commission and say, commission, you figure it out, and it may or may not be that we desire to have the healthcare information available for consumers, and that can be their choice,
I
the
see.
Commission.
And I guess because I was on the healthcare council and heard what happened in those deliberations, the healthcare commission is really an extension of the health council that the governor had, because there was so much to work on that they just couldn't do it all in that short of time. And so this is kind of an extension. The health commission would be an extension of the health council that was going on earlier. And they'll come out with recommendations. We then, as a body, can decide whether we want, what kind of a policy we want to develop in, that into. So I don't think that they are given, my vision of it anyway, is that their goal is not to develop policy. That's our job. And they will be trying to find ways to help us give health care across the state. And then the department and the legislature will decide which directions to go if we're going to adopt any policies. And the health care information office is a policy decision that we would be making, that we want transparency in in our health care system so that our constituents will have one place to go to see what their options are and where they can go and what they can do.
Madam Chair, I'd like to respond to that.
Dr. Butler, go ahead.
To Representative Seaton, through the chair, with my commissioner, I think I've got all the prepositions straight there. I think my concern about splitting is the role of the Health Information Office, because I think that will be something that is going to be important for the commission to be able to provide information to Alaskans. And I think the details of exactly what the Health Information Office does should be part of the charge of the commission, but ultimately the Health Information Office is answerable to the commission, and that would be my recommendation of how these entities would relate to one another, rather than, I'm not sure they would function very well if they were completely independent of one another.
Representative Roses.
Thank you. No, I didn't just pick the information out of the air when I talked about that. I was reading the bill. And if you read the bill actually says that the Alaska Health Care Commission is to provide recommendations for and foster the development of a statewide plan to review and approve facility health care information for placement on the department's database. So I mean, they're already charged with that in the bill. So it's not like I'm giving them a duty they don't already have. And they're not going to be operating in a void. We spent the first 2 1/3 pages of the bill talking about what the department's responsibility is, and it talks about establishing formal and informal relationships, identifying and promoting, and goes on and on and on. I would assume that part of what the commission is going to do is to make sure that the department is doing what it says it's going to do. And in terms of the transparency, I got to tell you, I haven't seen a single bill come out of the governor's office yet that doesn't have the word transparency in it. Quite frankly, that is one of the most overused terms that we've had, because it isn't transparent. What is transparent is the information we want the people to see. They don't see it all. They only see what we want them to see. And it's unfortunate. When we were discussing AGEA, everything about it was transparent, except what was going on in the back room that we didn't see. And there were discussions that went on. And I can assure you, because we would have amendments that would come to us in committee that none of us made. None of us made them. And so I appreciate the fact that we're trying to do a better job of keeping the public informed, and I think this administration is doing that. But I think we're overusing the transparency piece way too much. And I believe in giving the public as much information as we can give them. We cannot give them all the information. They would be so confused they wouldn't have a clue as to what we were doing. And I can attest to the confusion, because we get bombarded with lots of data, too, and trying to cipher through what it means. But no, in no stretch of the imagination was I saying we're going to develop a commission, all the rest of it goes out the window. One would anticipate that the department is still going to do its duty. The department is still going to follow through with all the things they say they're responsible for doing. And they're going to be working with the commission to make sure that those things are done, and the commission becomes a check and balance back to that. And the commission is the one that's going to decide how we move forward, what do we change, what do we develop, and what are the strategies that we help get there. And they're going to be, for lack of a better explanation, the information officer, that information office is the clearinghouse for all the data. And I absolutely agree with that. My statement wasn't to eliminate that and just do a commission. What I'm saying, instead of us deciding how we want to move forward, give them the charge of starting off working with the department, and then put these pieces of the puzzle together, instead of us trying to piecemeal the thing and then going back and trying to fix it. You know, a good plan gives you a better quality house when you get through. I do not want to build something that we have to turn around, and before we even implement it, have to start remodeling. And I think it's admirable that we're going there. I support the concept 100%. And I want to do everything I can to help. But I don't want to create a situation where we're not solving our problem, that we just appear to be solving our problem. I want to solve it. And so that's why I made the statement that I made, that we need to get the commission in place and have them work with the department to implement the things we need. and let's deal with some of these other issues through the commission. That was the statement that I made.
So I don't know what that means, though. So are you saying do part one, don't do part two,
no.
And just do it later on?
I'm saying the state already has the responsibility in this bill. They even clearly outline it, and they've got 12 points where they outline what the responsibility is of the state. Although there's one part that I disagree with, and that's the part where it says the state may do this. In my opinion, the state shall do this. If the state does those things they're talking about, they're developing the plan. They have the strategies. They have the information. They have the review to move forward to have a strategic, collaborative approach with not only private but public entities that are involved in healthcare, and to build a plan to move forward to, number one, give the public better information, give the public better care, to be able to coordinate better with all the healthcare providers so we know who's providing what services, and we're trying to do it at the most cost-effective way possible. That's the department's charge. The commission's responsibility, the way I see it, is to make recommendations to changes in that plan, to help make suggestions of how the plan would be implemented, and then as we go forward with that, make sure that the information is provided to the public through the Internet as to what those recommendations are, how they're being implemented by the state and the healthcare providers, and so that they have access to that information. Where can I get the best care? What does it cost? What's it look like? And so, no, I'm not talking about scrapping the whole thing. I'm talking about taking what the department's responsibility is, work with the development of the commission, and then start putting these other pieces in place after the commission has a chance to review them so that we're not doing something and then them having to come back and say, you know, you got to change this. You know, what you did doesn't work. You know, let's let them build. Give them the tools. Give them the building materials and let them build it instead of us building it and them telling us how to remodel it.
And I do want to make sure that the committee understands that the first section of this is the in this bill is current statute, and the only thing that got changed was on page 2 from line 6 to line 7. That's the only thing in that part that got changed. So the rest of it already is in statute. It's already what the department is supposed to be doing.
Madam Chair, thank you. That was the exclamation at the end of my statement.
So Representative Sisna, I think, was first.
Oh, okay. Well, it's sort of following up with a slightly different piece here, and I absolutely think that the information office and that tool and the commission are terribly important things, and we really have an immediate need for both of those, but I think they're separate. I think they're different kinds of processes, and on the information office, the reason I think it's different is because there's some pieces missing on the information office that's talking about it online. When huge numbers of our population, it's not necessarily rural, it's oftentimes urban who can't afford internet, but they have phones. They have cell phones a lot of times. And that piece is already being done in Anchorage, and that's one of the things that I would expect the commission to be looking for. Where are there duplications here with the private sector, with other entities like tribal or like veterans, or where do we have duplications that are going to create huge costs? And well, they are creating huge costs. And so that's why I think they're two separate bills. And I think I'd love to see both of them get through this session, absolutely, but separate because of the very reasons that have been talked about here.
Representative, any comments on that?
Through the chair, Representative Sisna, I would respectfully disagree, because what I would see is the information office would immediately start to work with those pieces that are already in place that you've talked about and get them consolidated, while the commission is then looking at those and seeing what else is missing. And also, if I might, to Representative Rose's comment about transparency, healthcare transparency is actually a national term, and many states are going in that direction. So it wasn't one we just chose up in Alaska.
I appreciate it, but certainly
thank
it was
you.
Convenient.
Understand.
Representative?
I've never said, I want to point, just make a statement, that I participated in several of the council meetings this summer and watched others, and I really appreciate what the product, and the two parts of the product that I think are before us in this bill. One of them is a 60,000-foot policy perspective that we need to have from the commission, and that is fantastic. It's great. And another part of it is the focus on the consumer, and as you know, that was just right there in our face. And there, I don't think there's anybody that would deny that there's a huge disconnect between the consumer, and what's going on. I mean, with a third-party payer system, bills get paid on my behalf that I don't have a clue what's going on, and I, frankly, many times have found myself not caring, as long as it's paid, And so I really appreciate the fact that both those are addressed in this bill, both with the commission and with the office of the department and the information office, and I appreciate the department stepping up to the plate with this and putting down the guidelines for it here in front of us, and we have to step up to the plate and say, yeah, it's going to cost some money here to get this done. So I'm for keeping this thing intact and messing up. So thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Seeing none, we will go on then. We will consider everything that was said, and neither one of these bills are going to move today, but we are taking and listening and seeing what we can do, and then we will hear these two bills again on Thursday, next Thursday. And so then if there's amendments, that type of thing, then just from the debate that we heard today and from the testimony that we will be hearing, we'll be able to make some decisions as legislators. So I'm going to close testimony then on the first two sections. Pardon?
Do you have anybody online for those?
Oh, you know what? That's true. Sorry. Almost forgot. Okay, is there anyone online? I know that there's plenty of people online that want to talk about the CON. Is there anyone online that would like to talk about either the first or the second part of this bill? And we will cut it to 3 minutes because we've got 24 people that are listed, and 3 minutes is, I will time you for 2 minutes and 50 seconds, and then we will, when you hear the bell ringing, you'll know that you've got 10 more seconds to pull it all together.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. State your name and affiliation.
Janine Him, and I'm a healthcare legal consultant, and I work for Advanced Medical Centers of Alaska in support of the governor's bill. One of the things that were raised, several issues that are unique to Alaska, I'd like to just start out by pointing out that you've had CON laws that are pretty restrictive for decades, and these problems have not been resolved, and I wonder if it wouldn't be time now to try something new. And maybe the commission can review later what happens if the repeal of the CON is going to be the disaster,
Janine,
that the hospitals say it is.
Janine?
Yes.
We are only talking about the first two. We're talking about the Health Care Commission and the Health Care Information Office.
Understood. I said, but you picked up the phone, so I just, I was waiting on the phone to talk about the CON. But
okay, then we'll wait, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
All right. I'll stay on hold.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Norman Stevens. I don't know what the order is to get your name in line here.
Well, the order is because we know there's not as many people that want to talk about the first two sections, so we're going to try to get them first. So if you want to talk about the Health Care Commission or the Health Care Information Office, we'll listen to you.
Thank you. This is Norman Stevens, and I'm the CEO of Matsu Regional Medical Center up here in Palmer and Wasilla, and I appreciate the chance to mention to talk about these two things. One, I would applaud Representative Rosen for his obvious intelligence about slowing down. You don't want to rush this thing. I think that the idea of putting together a commission, I was on the task force, the CON task force, which I'm not talking about CON, but that felt like a commission. We were together in a different format where we could actually have enough time to debate the issues and bring in our experts and really study it good, which is a lot more interpretive. And my fear is that by trying to do the commission and have an automatic fait accompli mandate about the transparency, you may rush to a transparency decision to create data that's meaningless. And The fact is that I run a for-profit hospital, and we spend all our time trying to figure out how to compete in this business and how to get our costs down. We do it all the time. It's how we operate these hospitals, and we're in competition with each other now. We try real hard to get better managed care contracts, and so from the commercial side, we're already working on trying to get our costs low so we can compete. And then our Medicare side, our cost reports are already mandated that they're public information, and they're so complicated now that I have to get my CFO to explain it to me, so I don't know how the public's going to understand it. And to be quick here, the other issue that you've got is apples to oranges and every other fruit, because, you know, if you have a small hospital that does 2 gallbladder surgeries a year, and one guy is an alcoholic that bleeds real bad and his cost is real high, and then you compare it with a big hospital that does hundreds of them, well, the poor hospital with just 2 is going to look really bad, and it's not fair. So it has to be adjusted so that it means something. And what I would suggest that y'all do, and Representative Rosen, God bless you for your ideas, and that's that you slow this thing down a little bit, put a commission together. For one thing, I don't know why you need a commission, because you got a really good, great commissioner who's smart, and, you know, she was right on target with the last thing she put together, which was a CON task force. But whatever you decide to do from the standpoint of who's going to be on it, you need to have hospitals represented and surgery centers represented, and everybody else has got the dog in the hunt, because this thing's really complicated, and I'm afraid that in short little sound bites like when I'm trying to get in right now, we try to get a complicated issue addressed and come to something that won't be a boneheaded decision when it's all implemented. And I'll shut up now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to talk about the Health Care Commission or the Health Care Information Office?
Yes, this is Paula Easley.
Okay, Paula.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Paula Easley, and I serve on the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. On behalf of the trust, I'm requesting that House Bill 337 include a trust representative as a member of the Alaska Health Care Commission. Our reasoning is that in addition to the trust statutory responsibility to Alaskans whose lives are affected by mental health issues, the trust and DHSS develop a comprehensive 5-year mental health plan and advise the state on mental health program funding. This year, the trust will provide funding around beneficiary issues of more than $27 million. It also leads system planning in many areas related to beneficiaries. Other trust priorities include preventing disabling conditions such as fetal alcohol syndrome, substance abuse, suicide, and traumatic brain injury, and trying to keep at-risk populations healthy and safe. To improve our success, the trust undertakes valuable research, much of which also applies to the general population. The Health Care Commission's charge is to develop a statewide plan addressing health care services for all Alaskans. Obviously, trust beneficiaries have health concerns and problems with service delivery, as everyone else does, often more so. So the trust knowledge from years of improving beneficiary health, safety, and quality of life would be invaluable to the commission's work. We discussed this with Commissioner Jackson earlier this week, who agreed designating a trust seat on the commission would be mutually beneficial. These next comments refer to the Health Care Information Office. With some 6,000 public and private agencies offering assistance, the need to connect Alaskans with available services has been great, as the commissioner has explained. In this regard, we wanted you to be aware of United Way's statewide referral service that was partially launched last fall. Like 911, people dial 211 seeking information on health care facilities, doing mental health services, shelters, crisis intervention, rent and heating assistance, food banks, and more. Agencies listed with 211 provide information such as licensing, services offered, fees charged, eligibility, location and hours, on, and more. Alaska 211 does not provide general health care and medical information, hospital ratings, or prescription costs, as outlined by Dr. Butler. At our February 4 meeting, trustees granted Alaska 211 $100,000 to continue adding and updating service provider information. It also provided $80,000 to the Caroline Crisis Intervention.
Paula?
Yes, ma'am.
You just have a few seconds left.
I know. I'm just about through. The trust believes costs associated with establishing the Health Care Information Office could be reduced if its website linked to existing services rather than duplicating them. Commissioner Jackson, earlier this week, assured us the office would not duplicate.
Okay. We're going to really keep this to the time limit because we can't just keep going and going. So is there anyone else online that would like to talk about the two, the Health Care Commission or the Health Care Information Office?
This is Rob Gould from Fairbanks. I'd like to speak on behalf of Section 1 and 2.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rob Gould. I'm the CFO and Operations Head for Fairbanks Memorial Hospital and Denali Center. Just to make it very quick, I would be in favor of the commission. Representative Rose's comments were very, very on point, and I think that he made excellent points about not getting the cart before the horse. As far as the information transparency, I believe that section needs a tremendous amount of work and would be opposed to that section of House Bill 337. One of the problems that we see is it talks about healthcare facilities and does not have a component for the physicians. If you're only looking at the facility portion and that's what you're going to inform the public, you've only given them somewhere between 20 and 50% of the picture. So it will not provide transparency. The second is that we are a very, very data-rich state. Along with other states, frankly, the department already has at its disposal all of the Medicaid information for charging, for not only the facility portion, but for the physician portion, and would recommend that rather than create another burdensome bill that adds more to the facilities, that you take the data that's already available and use that and mine it and get relevant data and then ask facilities for help once you've done that. I appreciate the opportunity to testify on this matter.
Okay, thank you very much, Robert. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on the Health Care Commission or the Health Care Information Office? Okay, is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Doctor, why don't you come forward? Dr. Urata?
My name is Bob Urata. I'm a family physician born and raised in Wrangell, Alaska, and have lived and practiced family medicine in Juneau since 1984. I am testifying as a member of the Board of Directors for Bartlett Regional Hospital, but also as a member of the Healthcare Strategies Planning Council, and I speak in favor of both pieces of the bill, the transparency part, or information part, and the commission. In terms of the information, the goal of one of the things that came up in the Healthcare Strategies Planning Council was that consumerism would be an important part of our healthcare system that is lacking at this point in time. And part of the problem is consumers cannot find information about healthcare, their physicians, costs, outcomes. And so there is a movement in this country, and starting with Medicare, to improve information on various things. And in fact, Medicare now requires, and there is a website already, available to patients or people who are interested in how hospitals are doing in certain quality indicators, such as pneumonia, heart attacks, and things of that sort. So in fact, there is information on the website. And our hope would be from the council would be to expand this to not only hospitals but also physicians' offices. And so this would be a big task and it could be very complicated. In terms of the commission, the problems of health care in this state are huge. We have, and it's similar to the rest of the country, we have over 600,000 people. 100,000 of them are uninsured. Up to possibly 20,000 are children. And as a result, they don't get good health care, and their health status is diminished. This results in difficult situations for them. So in order to solve our problem, we in the council pointed out some of the issues that need to be solved, but we could not solve them, and it will take more time, and I think that's what the purpose of the commission would be to do. I do recommend a broader spectrum of people involved. I think there needs to be more stakeholders. Six public members is probably not going to be adequate enough and will not provide the expertise to solve the problem. And so I recommend representatives from providers, patients, hospital large and small, nursing home, native health community, public health, rural and urban areas, mental health, pharmacy, nursing, those types of expertise to serve, as well as, of course, the consumer. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question, or at least a comment. It's kind of nice to hear a doctor and a representative of a hospital endorse this. And because so far the only people that have been complaining about it are the hospitals that have had people that work at a hospital that they're going to have to give up this information. So I appreciate it.
I think what they're saying is they agree, but there are issues because we have an unlevel playing field, and that's the problem. You take away CON, and you give advantage to somebody over here, and then you hurt the community hospital. So what the purpose is to level the playing field for everybody, and the only people who can do that is the commission with all stakeholders in there battling it out. How are we going to make Alaskan citizens the healthiest in the world, which is the mission of our council?
Representative Gardner has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your comments. You gave at the end a list of people that you thought should be included on the commission, and it was really rushed and hurried, and I wonder if you would give that list to the chair in writing, because I'm very interested in considering.
Okay. This is not comprehensive. I rushed and hurried my thoughts when I heard.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I wrote it out, but I will.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Rod, do you want to come forward? State your name and affiliation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Rod Beatty, CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. Just would refer you to a packet, I think, that's on your desk. And to the question of sections 1 and 2, I did this from the working draft. I thought we were on that at the last meeting, so the sections are a little bit different on this. But as you'll see in the summary on page 1, my members, which are all the hospitals and nursing homes in the state, support creating the statewide health plan. We think had that been in place, there would have been far fewer disagreements over what should be going on community by community in terms of the infrastructure and building. We completely support creation of a healthcare commission to address these issues. It's another great step that would begin to incrementally address these problems and bring them back to you for action. We also support more information being available to the public. We're not particularly keen on some of the provisions in this bill. We think that they can be They can be improved upon, and I would hope that we would have an opportunity to do that. But if I could just highlight a couple of things in this paper. If you go to page 3 under establishing the healthcare commission, we also have some issues with the membership. I think the membership needs to be looked at more closely. There needs to be some actual identification who would be on which seats rather than just 6 public members, one of which is a small business. And we're willing to sit down and help identify what the representation should look like. I also think I served on the Healthcare Commission for 8 years in Utah. And I know it can work, and I can tell you it's a pretty powerful tool if you have both the legislature and the governor committed to it. But you have to have a balance in terms of both having some ownership in it and agreeing that that's a group of people that they want to listen to. And so that's a concern I have here in terms of how do you get the balance into this selection process so that we really have a group that both parties will take recommendations from. If you go to the information office and reporting, the bottom of that page, in the working draft, I didn't look at it on this version A, but the facility as defined in this bill for reporting, people keep talking about it's just hospitals. If you actually go to the statute, at the bottom of page 3 and on into page 4, those are all the type entities that are listed under that section of the statute. So that's how broad and deep this reporting provision is intended to be. It does not include pharmacy reporting because the department does not have authority to do that now, although that was one of the things that you saw. You'd have to add that if you intend for that to be part of the database, and it doesn't include physicians. And as you heard, we think you have to have all those pieces if you're really going to hit the mark in terms of what the public is going to want. I was really glad to hear the commissioner say that we aren't going to be reporting on July 1st because that's, I think, a pretty unrealistic task. Beyond that, I would just leave this information with you. I'll have more to say on CUN, but I think that we can get there. It's just a question of how, and I think the commission is the first step, and we greatly appreciate the comments to support that.
Representative Gardner?
Thank you. I just want to tell you that I think this paper has been immensely valuable in understanding and increasing kind of the way we were thinking about this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Roses.
Thank you. Rod, I would like to ask you a question a little bit about the fact that you said you served on a commission in Utah. What was the commission charged with?
Have you got a couple minutes? Governor Leavitt, when he came into office, I was a state health director at the time, asked me to put together a group that could grapple with the access issue, the coverage, the cost issues for the state of Utah. So we put together a commission of 13 members. The governor chaired it the first 2 years, then turned it over to the lieutenant governor. There were six public members that the governor selected. I was one of the six. And then there were six sitting legislators on the commission. And we created what we called Health Print, which was essentially a roadmap over 8 years on issues we wanted to tackle during that period of time. We specifically listed them. And then the commission went to work. I had a health information office at the Department of Health, which is what they're asking you to create here. I think that's a good idea. That could provide the staff support to the commission. It was a really robust process. And if you look back over what Utah accomplished during that 7 years, there's an incredible list of things that they got done. And the uninsured rate was driven down during that entire period of time. But at the same time, we dealt with all the other issues that you're talking about here, too. So I know it can work, but it's got to have ownership on both sides. In year 8, the governor came to me and said, Rod, we have to stop this commission process. And I asked him why. And he said, there's been enough turnover in the legislature that the leadership that was there in year 1 is no longer there, and they no longer have ownership in this process. We're going to have to find another way to get there. And so that comes to why I say it's really critical, I think, to have both the legislature and the governor feeling like this is their way to get this accomplished, as opposed to one or the other feeling like they've got total control of it.
Thank you. Can I follow up?
Follow up, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Rose.
Part of what the task that the Utah Commission undertook, because I know there were two or three different pieces in play there, because I heard a presentation on this in Chicago when I attended a health conference there. And did this commission outline protocol and procedure for when certain tests and procedures were deemed to be appropriate, so that it wasn't somebody saying, I want to cover myself for getting sued, so I'm going to run every test in the world there is to run? And or was that part of what was done, or was that another separate commission that was formed in Utah? Because I know they did address protocol.
But through the chair, Representative Roses, what we did was set out a process to get there, and we agreed on a policy that would not, that if physicians followed the best practice protocols that were out there, that gave them better protection from any liability than those who chose to deviate from it. But then we left it to the actual physician scientists and ethicists to work out the details of how that would actually play out in each facility.
But they did come to a decision as to what those protocols would be, and they established them as somewhat of a standard for the state?
Through the chair, Representative Roses, we just basically embraced the protocols that were recognized by, you know, the physician community and by the National Health Sciences Group, and said those are the ones we think you should be operating under, recognizing every patient brings some different unique circumstances. So if you deviate from them, though, that's where you incur more risk that somebody can bring suit and you won't be as well protected.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Madam Chair, could I?
Representative Seaton. Rod? Representative Seaton has a question.
I noticed that there was a significant difference in the participation in the council you served on the commission and what we have here, in that there's one legislator from each body. And I know several of us served on the Education Funding Task Force, and I really presume that if those recommendations come forward from a commission that had one member from each body, it wouldn't have much traction in this body. So from your experience, are you telling us that we ought to have more legislators on there to get the buy-in from this body?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, let me go off the record as the president of the Hospital Association, just talk from my experience. I've worked on health care reform for 30 years under a number of governors, and it didn't get anywhere without a governor's support. If you didn't have a governor willing to put skin in the game and waste some political chits on it, that you didn't make any, no matter how strong the legislature felt about it. So I'm, A, very happy that this governor has decided that this is an important issue. But, B, it did not get done until we put the legislature, the other half of the glass, in the picture. And Governor Leavitt was very intuitive to sit down with the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and say, I need you as part of this process, and I need key people out of your bodies on this group, that when this comes before you, you'll know that it was thought out, that it's going to pass muster as far as health policy, that the bodies will accept, and that there'll be some money available when we bring some issues before you. And by doing that and not taking too much on each year, there was an incredible list of legislation that passed, incredible amount of funding that was made available, a lot of things agreed to that would have otherwise just bogged down in the legislature because there would have been the kind of fight you see on certificate of need. And so to answer your question, yes, I think it should have a bigger representation.
It represents this now.
And further to that question, the people that were on that commission from the legislature, were their interests, was there some solid commitment to health on the part of the legislators, but maybe diversity? I mean, can you kind of describe what was the winning combination of those specific people when it was working so well?
Through the chair, Representative Sisna, there were two from the majority party and one from the minority party from each body. And they were picked because they had a commitment to work through this process and an interest in health care, not because they were going to block things that the legislature might be asked to do. I think everybody came to the table with a clear commitment to make some progress and to get things done, recognize we had different perspectives at the table, but there were people who, on both sides, could actually carry legislation, support legislation, explain legislation or funding requests, and had good credibility in the bodies when they did that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Rod. All right, is there anyone else in the audience that would want to talk about the commission or the Healthcare Information Office? Come forward. I believe we've seen this come up before us before.
At some point, probably.
Good to see you, Joel.
Good morning. Good morning, members of the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joel Gilbertson, representing Providence Health and Services in Alaska, and I'll keep my comments just to those two sections, Madam Chair, that you asked. And Rod did an excellent job representing the position of the association, so I won't spend much time today except to talk at more at a concept level within, as you try to wrestle through a commission and a health information office, and I think as you heard Rod say, we support, and Providence does also support, moving forward with both. But it's the devil in the details. And for the commission, which is where I'll start, I think it's important to make sure as we take a deeper look at the membership itself. I think you get from it the solutions that come from the people who go into it. And without a broader cross-section, and right now with the current draft we're discussing today, which has a very broad cross-section of government and some consumer, those are the solutions you're going to get. You're going to get government solutions to healthcare. And I think government's going to play a role in healthcare reform. But for us to be able to really move the ball forward significantly in this state in the near future on healthcare reform, you're going to need stakeholders at the table who are going to be able to bring solutions from the market as well and be able to go back into their organizations and effectuate that change. It's going to have to be very collaborative. And so I would highly recommend taking a very deep look into the membership of that committee and making sure that you have the providers, you have the payers, and you have and that includes the employers who are sponsoring health benefits in this state right now and are struggling to compete in a global marketplace because of the high cost of health care. And you have the consumers, and you have government, including both the legislature and the executive branch, working together collaboratively for solutions and with people who can take it back to their own bodies and significantly move the market. That's what it's going to take. And around the Health Information Office, you've heard some testimony about what needs to be put into it. I would just say generally that if we oversimplify the information, it's not going to be value-added for the consumer. And secondarily, there already is a large amount of data that's being reported. All inpatient and outpatient data from facilities is being reported right now to the state. At the federal level, quality data is being reported. Customer satisfaction data is being reported. Cost data is being reported. I would just highly recommend that we start first, how do we pull this data together and make that usable before we start collecting more data from entities, and then ensure that you have, if you want the full picture, if you want this to be value added to the consumer, it's going to have to include physician data. Even within facilities, there's broad variation on cost depending on who the provider is. How many labs are ordered? How many imaging procedures are ordered? What's the quality of the service that's being delivered? It's an oversimplification to say you can aggregate this data and say this facility versus this facility performs better on cost or quality. Until you have that full, robust picture of the whole continuum of care for that patient, it's not accurate, and to be honest, it's going to be misleading for the consumer. So with that, I would just say generally we support the concepts, but really need a lot of work around how you move them forward, and that may mean separate bills. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your testimony. How large do you think such a commission can be before it becomes so cumbersome that it's just unworkable?
I respond to the chair, Representative. I still remember when someone told me once that this person told me, I hate work groups because groups don't work. And it always stuck in my head. I think there is some reality that if you get too large, it's just not productive. Is there a sweet spot? I don't know. But I think as you start getting beyond 10, 11, 12, it starts to get very unwieldy. And it gets very distanced. But I think there is a way to get a collection of folks of significant interests and capacities to represent the provider community, the payer community, the employer community, and the consumer. And I don't know why you couldn't do that with 9, 10, 11, 12 people. It seems reasonable to me.
Representative Keller.
Joel, I think you're the third in a row here that, from my perspective, I'm just going to make a statement and let you respond. I think you said that what we need here on this commission is some people with a conflict of interest, that we need people at this table, that ownership is defined by what the bottom line can be for what I represent. And that's a statement I'd like you to respond to. But the question is, do you know of any commissions like this that have a two-layer board where the consumers maybe are the voting members, but it is very clearly laid out the process by which they get information from hospitals or whatever? So
response to the chair, I'll respond to your first portion of that, and I guess I would not phrase it as a conflict of interest. I'd rephrase it as an investment. And you're going to want individuals at the table that represent those interests. Otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. And you're going to want individuals who are going to have tension in the room. Otherwise, you can have a nice conversation, but you're not going to get towards the critical mass that it takes to move markets, unless you want a solely government solution. And that, of course, then can become a fight. But I don't think that's what we want. So I think you do want people who have an investment, who have a position. But I also have served on many commissions in this state, and I can tell you that there is a strong yearning in virtually everyone I've ever worked with to do what's right for Alaska. and I wouldn't second guess that that's going to come from this body. On your latter question around tiered approaches, I'm not familiar with that. There may be some, but I think I wouldn't go out of your way to avoid the tension in the room.
Okay, thank you very much, and I have to say you have slowed down.
Not much. You only gave me 3 minutes.
No, but you used to go 100 miles an hour. Now you're only going 80.
It's the cold.
Thank you very
Motherhood,
much.
Motherhood, right? Thank you all.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to comment? Seeing no hands, now I will close testimony on this part, and we will have the sponsor of... Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Gardner.
Do we still have people online who testified? Are they still available?
Yes.
Okay, I would just like to comment to Mrs. Easley, if she can hear, that I want to appreciate her bringing up the mental health portion.
Yeah.
Because it is something that I've completely overlooked, and it impacts health care all the way down the line. So thank you.
And the next bill is, I'm trying to find, House Bill 345. We will go ahead and have Representative Kelly come forward and explain his bill, exactly what it does, and then we will try to get to the testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll try to respect the time. I know we're, a half an hour till the boots get put to us and we're out of here. So
2 minutes.
We'll move. Yeah, thanks. Great day for the CON struggle, 55 below in North Pole, back home, 45 in Fairbanks. And I know if you walked up from the harbor this morning, you have pretty low visibility here.
90 below.
Yeah. So, that's right. So the only thing that could be more important this morning might be global warming. All right. I want to declare right up front that I've been a 20-year member of the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation, been on the board, been on the executive committee and the finance committee. I also just termed out as a member of the Committee on Governance for the American Hospital Association, the national committee that meets 3 times a year, usually twice in Chicago and once in D.C. So get that on the record. The folks have asked before what compensation for those things is, not a penny, and what would you characterize it as? It's community service or volunteering. So I haven't. That's my conflict of interest statement. I also have well past 50 extended family back home that are in the healthcare system that I have served on the board for, and the youngest little fellow in it is a seventh generation Alaskan named Dominic, who's a grandchild. So we've got an investment in the system, but I think it comes not from a conflict of interest, but as Joel said a moment ago, an investment, a concern about it. So just want to get that on the record. So why would a fiscal conservative like me come forward with 345, and what does it accomplish? I think some folks have said, well, it's a pro-CON bill. That might come from a lack of reading the bill, but I'm going to assume that I guess you could partially characterize it as that. But this is a compromise bill. Instead of eliminating the CON, this attempts to eliminate the CON for a portion of the business. So it's a step in the direction of more competition in the healthcare arena. And I think that a little bit surprised by the issue coming up so before us again, because on the negotiated rulemaking committee, somewhere around 75-80% of the folks on there had testified concerning about taking the CON away, just taking it away overnight, and a two-year moratorium on certain areas in the healthcare industry. To 2 years is tomorrow morning, roughly. So it's so quick that it's no time at all to adjust. So I have concerns about both the council and about the health information, and to state them, just so I mention that they're not in this bill. But I do have concerns about both of those as to the makeup of the commission, and I also have concerns on the healthcare information that half of the 50% of the equation is not at the table, and I'm not suggesting in a free society that we require the doctors to come to the table and disclose everything about their business. So you do have some concerns there. There are other, I'm almost tempted in some senses to say that I want to see less government involved, and I see more government in this. In some ways, you know, if the phone line between Fairbanks area and Juneau were to go dead for a while on the whole health care thing, we may be better off. So I'm not speaking in favor of more government in this. Also, just a comment, the national is such a driver on this. We're at the end of the strings, and we're dancing so much to their to what they say and what they do, that probably of more interest in what we can possibly do in this committee might be Super Tuesday in November, because those two dates are a lot more instructive about where this thing might go next. So just some general concerns.
You know, I'm going to interrupt real quick right here, because I do want to note that on page 6 of the first bill, it does say the facility cost and provider cost, so that would include physicians.
Good luck on the second one.
That's not
a frivolous comment.
No,
that's
no.
A private sector,
sure.
Businesses, and if you're going to go require that, that's a whole additional step. So thank you, Madam Chair, you're right. The thing that I think would be best at this point is to have, if I might, Madam Chair, is to just have Derek Miller, my staffer, go through a quick explanation of the bill, just the technical parts that it does, and then if I might close, we'll try to be quick.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Derek Miller, and I'm staff to Representative Kelly, and I'll just go real quickly through the four sections of the bill. Section 1.
Is this version E?
This is version E in front of you, and there should be a sectional, one-page sectional analysis actually in your committee packets as well, so that's what I'll basically be working off of. Section 1 simply adds a cross-reference to an additional exemption to the CON process in existing statute. The existing statute references Part C and D, and this adds a Part F to that. Section 2 defines what a critical access hospital is, and actually that's a federally defined regulation, and there should also be information in your packets on the definition of critical access hospital, as well as a spreadsheet explaining the designated 13 critical access hospitals in the state of Alaska. And the most concisely way it's been put to me is a critical access hospital is a small rural hospital that is financially challenged given the population that it serves. That's about the most concise way it's been put to me. Section 3 adds an exemption that permits a person to make an expenditure of $1 million or more for diagnostic imaging equipment without authorization under the terms of the certificate of need process, as long as the equipment is used in a facility that is located in a borough with a population of 60,000 folks or more, a city that does not have a critical access hospital, and is at least 50% owned by one or more licensed physicians who are qualified and actually do the interpretations of the images in the facility that the equipment is used. And then finally, Section 4 is simply put applicability standards for the bill. And I can make myself available to answer questions, although I know that there are folks online and in the room that have a wealth of knowledge on this issue.
Thank you. I understand the logic, and we've seen the logic in previous bills on the population estimates and the critical access. Can you explain the logic of saying that we're going to allow this competition only if it has 50% more physicians providing this service?
Well, that is a big sticking point with this bill, and there's, as I said, there's folks available online that can speak to their position. There's plenty of differing reasons as to why that 50% was chosen on both sides of it. Do you want me to go into that? Or?
Well, if I might, Madam Chair, just to the chair, Representative Seaton.
As Representative Kelly.
I think, first of all, to explain that the 50% is exactly halfway between 0 and 100, and so there are constituencies out there that are are very upset about moving it from 100 and others that are upset about moving it from zero. And 50%, what I found is that any time I just start leaning this way slightly to 51, I get whacked right hard there. And when I lean over this towards zero, I get whacked back to center. This bill doesn't pretend to be anything that is other than a compromise between the two groups. And perhaps most simply said, the hospitals and the docs under this arrangement are permitted, perhaps even encouraged over time, to come together to do these services. And if they don't, then you're going to find the CON being still necessary. So it is a compromise, and I know we're short of time. I can give you 15 minutes on it, but I'll stop there for right now. It's a compromise.
Follow up, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, and I wasn't really calculating so much on the 50%, but if the idea is to open competition and to get more facilities in those areas that can stand competition, I'm wondering why we are saying that competition is only allowed if it has any particular amount of physician ownership of the facility. I mean, physician ownership has been a question in my mind as far as referencing or referring to your own facilities and all, and I understand the negative of that, but the requirement that you would require that physicians have to own that much of the be participants in the facility before you would allow the competition. I'm unsure where that philosophical how we get there.
Okay, through the chair, Representative Seaton, if the number were it doesn't prevent it. It just says if you have less than a 50% participation by docs, you got to go back to you got to get a CON. So it says that if you're not allowing them to participate, you got to go get a CON. And that's it tries to strike a balance that says hospitals can still participate take an MRI, for example. But if they're not going to have to go through a CON, the docs are going to have to be at the table involved in the thing as well. So this tries to open up competition in a direction that has already been open to some extent, the imaging, and yet do so in a manner that doesn't just rip the lid right off and say that it moves forward without some control. So this tries to make it more competitive, and it tries to get the two parties together and say at what level should we have set this, and 50% is a compromise.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I enjoyed your description of the 0% to 100%, and the implication is the hospitals are at one side and the docs at the other side. Is that correct?
Not entirely. Because of the Providence Valley situation that again would get right a book
in broad strokes.
So I just don't want to have anybody behind me keel over backwards when I agree with what you said, because it doesn't quite work that easily. Okay. But I think the folks that follow me will be able to say where they are on it. But this bill, you know, may go nowhere, but it is a significant compromise, even though the folks that want to just rip the lid off and open up competition are going to say this doesn't move nearly enough, and we're suspect that Kelly wants to be more competitive, and the folks on the other side are saying, I really don't like opening this up. I'd rather do what some states, we still have 36 CON states, what some states that have opted out go back in and say what we really need to do is tighten up the old CON and really make it work instead of having holes in it.
Right.
So I want to be careful how I...
Madam Chair, I mean, that was just the lead into my real question, which is if you have, in broad strokes, the hospitals on one side, the doctors on the other, where are the consumers?
Okay, I think that is the thing that probably concerns me most about the whole thing, and it's back to the Fed being so much of a driver on this. You know, I can have my four-year-old grandson driving that jet boat, and when he gets back, he says, I drove it. He was sure he did. We're sitting here thinking we're driving this thing, and we're going to make some significant impacts. We're in some respects, we're messing with something that is so heavily federally dominated and I'm on that national committee. So when Americans are confused about what to do, they mill around. And that's what I've seen for 4 years on that Committee on Governance, is Americans milling around somewhere between Hillary Care and you're on your own. And so we're in that great, great mess now. So I guess my, and I, again, back to respecting your time, my feeling is that the consumer is not in the thing except to the smallest degree, only one in 20 of us. You know, I buy every bit of my car insurance and I set the deductible. I pay higher or I have a lower, I set my fire insurance on the house, on the cabin, I go get my health, my life insurance, I get everything else. And I deal with who's going to provide it. I can hire and fire. I got all those choices just like every one of you. You don't have a darn thing to say about your health care if you're in the same plan that that I'm in. Oh, you might have some fuzzy little thing you could fool with, but somebody would holler at you if you did. So you're not like Representative Keller said. He doesn't even care. And that's honest. That's just straight dead honest, because you don't pay the bill, but you sure do on all those other insurances. Where's the consumer? Uninformed, uninvolved, and unserved. Right. Because the other part of the system is, in Alaska, in Anchorage and Fairbanks, the docks, you could just about safely say, and somebody behind is going to throw a tomato, that the docks are not taking new Medicare patients. Do you blame them? Go to school and become a doc and work for 50 cents on the dollar. The heck kind of a system is that? So, the consumer is what we're here for, I think, and that you baited me there a little bit, right? Consumers in a bad way on this thing, because we're going to double our seniors in Alaskans. Yeah. Reel me in, Alberta. But the consumers, we're going to double our seniors by 2030. Only one other state beats us on that, Nevada. If that isn't a chilling statistic in a state where your docs that cover Anchorage and Fairbanks can't see a new patient. And lest the docs think, what would you do if you were a doc? If you can't make anything on the don't pays and won't pays, and yet you got to see them, and nobody says thanks for their charity care, it's you'll do it or else, what are you going to do? So I guess my point is, we have a system here. I have offered something, Madam Chairman. I know when Chairman Wilson's getting twitchy and about to put the hook out, is what we have is a system here that is broken. I have concerns with all three parts of the former bill, with the greatest respect for the governor trying to make a move here. Let's do it carefully. Let's pass 345. It's a move in the step of competition. It'll eliminate somewhere near 75% to 90% of your lawsuits, because the holes in the system on that imaging are there. This bill has quite a few people that have bent over backwards to compromise that would support it, and it may not go anywhere. Thank you.
Hey, Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I do have two other questions for the sponsor. Actually, one thing I'd like to point out, that the fiscal note says the department has insufficient information necessary to make an accurate cost estimate. My question is, do you believe that this bill, if passed as submitted right now, would resolve any or all of the pending lawsuits?
I would say, and this is coming from folks that know more about it than I do, and others that can be brought forward. I understand you have some online that might. I understand that I'm going to use the conservative number, the 75% of the lawsuits go away. And I've heard the number that 90% of the lawsuits go away. So I just want to be, you might expect, conservative on that. And the other point I'll make is, I agree with Representative Roses when he said that wasn't driving my train on this, because the reason for the lawsuits, I think, and I have all the respect for this commissioner and she knows it, but is the regulation, some of this is inherited, the regulations trying to put old 511, the old bill, in effect, are regulations that I'm going to estimate, because I wasn't here, may have been done to keep too many people unhappy, and it should have been written in a way that said, don't even bother to argue with us, you're out, you're in, you're out. And it didn't do that. It said, come on. You know, and so you had administrative law judges saying one thing, the commissioner saying another, Beattie or Powers saying, or Prov or Regional saying another, and you had this big cat fight, and all it made wealthy is the our friends the lawyers, and so here we sit with that sludgy system. And just another fact here, why I'm a little suspicious of going of just grabbing on to getting more government involvement, and maybe that'll change if you get the stakeholders in. In the last 5 years, since I've been floating around here for 4 years now, but the last 5 years, our HES budget on GF has gone up from what, $600 million to we got to reach up only about that far to grab $1 billion. We'll get there really quickly, and that's 63%, and that's 400% of inflation on taking the highest number. So, if you think government is the answer to this, I guess I'm not that. That's not my message. And yet, if you're going to do a CON, last thing, all in. I've got three experiences, mostly because if you hang around as long as I have, you get experiences in three different areas. One, I was 30 years in the electric business, 18 as a CEO. California got all excited about ripping the lid off of electrical consumption. They took California all the way down to their knees. The price of the kilowatt hour was so high you can't even dream it. No way. So they ruined California's electric system. Now what did that do? Set us back on competition in the electric arena for maybe a decade. Do you guys ever hear anything here before? I mean, do you hear it now on opening up competition there? There was a full committee on it that I used to meet with every year to talk about deregulating the electrics. So we set ourselves back. The second thing, I flew for a commuter airline after that other experience. They changed the bypass mail system in the bush. You know, a dozen or two dozen businesses went absolutely broke, including the one that I was flying for didn't go broke. They just chose to get out before while getting out was good. The third one is the healthcare industry, where if we have a model, it's built up over time. Only this, now we're talking about human beings and life or death. You jerk the rug out from this system overnight like that, and I predict an electric situation and a small computer airline situation, because I've seen both of them. And yet I want government as much out as possible. So Derek says, close it out, Mike. I'm done.
We have a couple more questions. Representative Sisson.
And two, you're wanting government out. I guess that's exactly where I am, probably slightly for a different reason. You were talking about the fact that you have no control over your personal health and it's government or whatever. But actually, my question to you really stems on a different point of view, and it's the one that I come from, and that is that my health, your health, is probably 80% dependent upon our personal choices, the habits we learn. And those are the things that take care of most of it. But there are those little times when I accidentally slip on the street, a car hits me, and I have to go to the hospital. And that's the point at which I think, and I'm concerned about CON's implication, because in different places in Alaska, this could possibly, and that's my question, could possibly affect the health of the place I go to because it's Sunday afternoon. And I need that hospital healthy and being able to afford the nurses and have the doctors and have everything in place and make sure that I get the care I want. And I agree with you that the CON right now needs work. I don't disagree. But like others in this group, I think we don't have much information. We did when we actually had a commission and a plan that were all in place, and it's been 30 years about since then. How does this make a difference, and does it safeguard? And that's my question.
What, Madam Chair, through the Chair, Representative Sisna, what I think happens with this, 345, is it takes a carefully put together compromise, and it moves in the direction of more competition. And I think that if we don't do that, then we will be back here when the bell rings, February next year, and we'll be going to work with a couple of real hard anti-CON bills, and then we'll be working at it again. And why? Not because people that support the CON, which is a large portion of the system, which was at the negotiated rulemaking table, but because these poor docs are going nuts out there with the reimbursements, and they're trying to make a buck doing the bricks and mortar, and we'll be right back at it. This bill says, why don't you take a careful first step that has got the hospitals that are supporting it, nervous as the dickens, and it's got a lot, the imaging folks that have been in my office that also support it, saying, okay, we're willing to do. It's a compromise. It moves in the direction of quieting this down, settles lawsuits, and it's the step we can take. I would predict that the chances, excuse me, Governor, of that bill going through and eliminating the CON like that are very low. This bill may be DOA, and I may have talked you clear out of it by now, but it takes a step that is doable, and there's a whole bunch of people in the healthcare system that support it and a couple of notables that don't.
Representative Rosen.
A couple of quick questions, and for the sake of
you have 3 minutes.
Transparency, I can do it less than 3 minutes. I guarantee it. The answer may take longer, but the question. For the sake of transparency, when you say you've been floating around here for a long time, people need to understand you live on a boat, so it's true. The exemption for expenditure of $1 million for diagnostic, I tell you, I have a little bit of problem with that. Let me tell you why. The last thing I want to do as a consumer is walk into an office and get an MRI for somebody that went out and bought a cheap machine just so they wouldn't have to qualify or apply for a CON. And you begin to question then, does the consumer know what kind of quality they're getting out of an outdated piece of equipment? That's my only concern with that. I understand where you're going, don't disagree, but that's a serious concern I have.
Short answer, Madam Chair, through the chair to Representative Rosen, I agree absolutely with what you just said, and so do the healthcare people. They don't want any junky machines in there just because somebody's trying to get his head under a million-dollar glass ceiling. Couldn't agree with you more. This bill takes the significant step in saying we're not going to do that anymore. If you docs want in and you folks want to cooperate and work together here, you don't have to do the CON, and so you're not going to bump your head on that. So it tries to go in the direction with which I agree completely.
So that was the other part of my question. The exemption here for equipment under $1 million does not allow them the exemption for at least having a minimum of a 50% ownership and a physician being involved in the diagnostics in terms of the imaging that is being produced.
Correct. If those things come together under the specifications of this bill, which is that compromise that Representative Gardner referred to, then the CON, they don't have to do the CON. If they're forced to do the CON because they want to be out of the box, there is the danger that you buy the 94 Dodge and try to do it with that. So I agree.
And the final question, Madam Chair, it has to do with you referenced the negotiated rulemaking process that took place. How does your 50% ownership with licensed physicians involved fit in with what their conclusion was that they came up with in their compromise? Do you know?
I'm going to guess, Madam Chair, they'll do a lot better job because there are so many constituencies in there telling you whether they like this, love this, hate it, or in between. So I won't try to answer that. I think I'll leave that to them.
Let me rephrase quite. How did you consider that when you put this bill together, or did it make no difference in your decision?
I considered the fact that group, that we were trying to come up with something that group, which is a huge portion of the healthcare brains and bodies in this business, had to agree with this, or I wasn't even going to fool with it. I mean, all this bill does to me is I've got a little more skin and a bunch of dagger marks in me, a little less skin and a lot more dagger marks in me than I had before. And you got to be really brain damaged to take on a CON bill, in my opinion. Now, nice talk. I'm done.
Thanks, and I was under 3 minutes, and so were you. Thank you.
Obviously, we are out of time. We will start, and my committee aide has informed me that I have been talking about next Thursday, and it's not next Thursday. It is February 19th, and that is on a Tuesday because we had next Thursday already full. And so we will take this up where we left off, and we will start the meeting. We will start the meeting with testimony. We're not going to talk. No one's going to talk. We are going to hear testimony. So everybody, and I sincerely apologize, but we did get a lot of facts talked about today and a lot of discussion. And so on the 19th, we will take this up again, and we will hear testimony first. And there again, you might want to figure out how you're going to get 3 minutes in, because we will keep it to 3 minutes again.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we are now adjourned. And because there is another committee meeting at 11.
Are you in this?